Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
My talkers, it's Monday, October 25th. We're getting over our Rolling Stones hangover, but no worries. We're having a lot of fun. We've got Hollywood Speak coming up here. Probably some tickets to maybe give away this hour or the next. Just tune in for that. Julia's Random Thoughts. And we also have to say goodbye to a TV, kind of a legend from TV, you guys, even though he wasn't a very popular actor, but kind of a TV legend.
Oh, Gunther?
Yeah.
Yeah, from Friends.
Yeah.
You know what? I saw that on the news because we had just seen him on the Friends reunion on HBO in May.
Yeah.
And he did, you know, say to the cast and crew, hey, I'd be there, but I've been dealing with cancer, and damn it, that dirty piece of trash cancer has taken another good one. He's only 59 years old. And the one thing I thought was the entire cast of Friends individually all paid tribute to him. Like, they all really liked him, knew him.
He was on
the whole 10 years.
Oh, he's on the whole time.
He was on the whole time. And I don't think he was supposed to have, it was never going to be anything more than like a back,
yeah, kind of like, but when he had that obsession with Rachel, that little storyline was epic.
It was.
It was really funny.
He's only 59 years old, so.
Prostate cancer, right?
Right. And just, they found it during a routine physical for him.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, but I like that everyone was, you know, just acknowledging him and just sharing warm wishes about him, because of course he wasn't making any kind of Friends money.
No.
And I never really saw him on other things. Maybe he did like some character acting or something, but yeah, I like that they all paid tribute to Gunther, whose real name is James Michael Tyler.
Everybody. And ever since he was diagnosed with prostate cancer, he and his wife were going out there trying to raise awareness for it because they were so young. He was so young.
Yes.
When he was diagnosed with it. But, you know, Vince Flynn here from the Twin Cities died very young from prostate
late 40s.
Cancer. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's always. Check that, guys, and they can do a quick blood test.
But, I mean, he found it. He was like a regular guy. That's why he was like, what happened here?
Right.
Yeah. Anyway.
Sad news. But like you said, nice to see them all pay tribute. Even though he wasn't one of the original Friends, he kind of felt like...
He did.
He was part of that whole...
Kind of like the 12th man of the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm just teasing.
That's right.
Okay. Makes sense.
So, all right. So, I was exhausted after last week and the family stuff and everything we had going on. And spent maybe too much time in front of the television this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But I watched... Dope Sick, and I'm all caught up, and that's on Hulu, and it's about the genesis of the Sattler family launching OxyContin out and making up BS about how it's not addictive and trying to find ways to spin
slow release.
Sorry, spinning everything and manipulating everybody.
Is
everybody
it really good?
Everywhere. It is. It's powerful. It'll make you sick, but it's amazing the power that company had and how clever they were. But one of the things that about last night and, you know,
are there like three episodes?
There's four already.
Four, okay.
And they're an hour each. I mean, they're long episodes.
Is the average of an hour long episode. They're always an hour.
They have commercials. If you know, so you get, it's a little, I don't know. All right, fine.
Yeah.
But one of the things is, you know, when you would go into the doctor's office and they have those smiley faces about your pain level.
Yeah.
That was all created by them to create this whole thing that we can manage your pain level. And then they worked with all these pain clinics and worked off a fake study. I mean, it'll blow your mind away.
It was already blown when I watched Goliath.
That does
nothing. And
that's
not even a drop of the story.
Does nothing, Lori.
Right?
This, and Grant, I know you've had experience with this and you know about the addictive quality and what dope sick even means.
Yeah.
Is it means when you're trying to get off Oxycontin, how sick you are that you feel worse.
Yeah, it's like heroin because it is opiate.
I just didn't know
it
dope is... sick, that was what you call it.
Oh, yes.
The withdrawal from those pills is just as bad as a heroin withdrawal. It's tragic. But like you guys said, with that scale, my doctor, when I got off of him, we did a lot of talking about this and working through it and how he has changed his ways as a doctor. And he told me, Grant, when I was in medical school, it was based on, if you give me this number, 1 through 5, Vicodin. If it's 5 through 6, I'm going to give you a Percocet. Mm-hmm. If it's 6 through 10, I'm going to give you a very strong Percocet. Mm-hmm. And that was it. There was no like, let's take a look here. Let's go there. It was as simple as, what's your number? Like you said, on that scale, when you circle those faces, it's that scary. That's how simple these doctors were told to just prescribe this.
And double the prescription amount because some people were saying it didn't work for 12 hours. Just double it.
Yep, just double it. That's how just
it was just so, it's amazing the marketing. So anyway, that show is powerful.
I'm glad you watched it. I'll have to check it out.
It's good.
Is it going to be an 8, do you think?
I think it's six or eight.
Okay.
Yeah, it's good.
Well, I did not watch that. I wrote on a post-it note how to use the 3 remotes to get to Netflix. Okay. I couldn't take it anymore being a Luddite in my own house. I know how to get to everything, but for some reason, Netflix, 3 remotes. I mean, Casey's son was over yesterday and I had to show him what to do because he couldn't.
You should get a Samsung for your next TV. They literally have built-in buttons where it says Netflix, Prime.
Yeah, no, I
Hulu.
Have all that.
It's lovely. You just click it in
the
air.
Yeah, I have all that. But for some reason, the Netflix is the only one that doesn't do that. Okay,
bummer.
You have to get to HDMI too.
No, I can't remember why Casey has it that way. But I was like, I have got to watch You season 3.
Oh, right.
Oh, how'd it go?
It, you know, which is basically it's the Stalker series starring Penn Badgley as Joe Goldberg and his... Now in this 3rd season, he married a homicidal woman her name is Love Quinn Goldberg, played by Victoria Pedretti. And
did you binge it all? Did you watch them all, Lori?
I watched 8 of 10.
You did? Okay, so what Nikki said was true. You couldn't stop.
Yeah, I couldn't stop. I was just like, no, keep going. Yeah, I like that show. I don't know why. Because really, when you think about it, this guy is just acting out on the same pattern of behavior season to season. So, like, how different can it be? But I don't know. It was pretty good.
So compelling.
It's been renewed for a 4th. But I want to finish the morning show.
How far are
one
you?
Episode.
Oh, because I'm caught up on that. Actually, I was going to text Neil Justin yesterday and say, it feels like it gets better.
Yeah.
You know, as the season goes on.
Mm-hmm.
Because he said it's so drab and dull and stuff. But it got a little better, Lori.
The Guardian's calling it the messiest show on TV.
It's not great.
Yeah.
I will give it. It's not last year.
Yeah. Shoot.
I know, right?
Right.
But I want to go back to Dope Sick really quick. Because the reason Michael Keaton agreed to do this, because he's one of the main doctors that prescribes it.
Yeah.
In this small town in Appalachia. And he said because his nephew died of an oxycodone overdose.
Mm.
And it just struck home. And
that's powerful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
That's why he wanted to do something. And he's so good in it.
Yeah. All right.
Anywho.
All right. We've got to watch that. Maid. That's the other show. For you and I.
Yeah.
Like.
Everyone loves Maid.
Mm-hmm. Women. I don't think you'd like it, Grant.
Not my alley.
Casey
no.
already said no.
Okay.
Hell no.
Wait,
he looked at the trailer.
A woman?
Yes, exactly, Julia.
I know my brother.
Oh, do you ever?
Oh, my gosh. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
And now, Julia's random thoughts.
He looks like that puppet. I don't know. He's had cheeky implants. It's just random. That's all it is. All right, so just a final thought, but probably not our last for the show today, about the Rolling Stones. 57 years ago today in 1964, they made their first appearance on the Ed Sullivan Show.
Wow.
Numerous complaint letters prompted Sullivan to promise they'd never appear on his show again. Of course, they did it a year later in 65.
You know, all I could think about when I was watching Mick, I was Harry Styles. They need to work Mick? On the biopic of the young Mick. Rolling Stones so yes. Harry Styles can play Mick Jagger.
That would be perfect.
He will. Mm-hmm. He will. Grant, I think you were here when Britney was here. She was talking about her sister's birthday party, and they had this cake flown in from Melk Bar in New York City.
Yes.
Melk Bar?
Yeah, it's a celebration cake with all these different things on it, Lori. It looks like crazy outrageous, but I just want to give people, this is from Sandy, our Darum Dolly, who sent us the other thing earlier. She also sent this that she said the celebration cake from Melk Bar in New York City, a friend of hers who's a great baker took an online class from the Melk Bar founder, Christina Tosi, and it was an intense 30-day class. But now if you don't want to get your cake delivered all the way from New York City, you can get it delivered locally because now she's making it. And I'm just going to give you her text number, Grant, if anyone wants to call you, but it's 651-485-7818. But she's making this famous cake. And this cake was all the rage. So that's kind of fun that we have a local connection.
Yeah. She's our Dolly Darum class of 83. Darum Dolly. Is that what you called them?
Yeah, Darum Dollies.
Okay. Yeah. That's so funny.
Mm-hmm. Totally. That's what they were called. Okay, so candy has been the thing now.
for quite a long time.
And really, in my life, it was the big thing this weekend because we had purchased and people had bought so much candy for my nephews and children's last week, and they left it. My sister hid it in a drawer in my kitchen, and I opened the drawer to, you know, wash off my sunglasses, and it's just like good and plenty. Twizzlers, hot tamales, milk duds, and I can only have I can't have a carb in my house, much less how much I had in my house last week. So this weekend was all about candy and candy headaches and candy chews. But here are some of the years candy
was
invented. So in the 60s, Starburst first came out in the UK, but I don't remember them being here that early in the United States. They used to be named Opal Fruits. They didn't hit here till the end of the 60s, early 70s. And then the gummy sour treats, Haribo Gold Bears that you see everywhere. Haribo. Were in the early 60s.
Jeez, they've been around that long.
Lemon Heads, 62, and jelly beans.
That seems like it would have been invented in 1962. That is just a dreadful...
A lemon head?
A lemon head.
Oh, I like those.
I hate those things.
Oh, I love them.
What a... Just like Jawbreakers or waste of candy.
Oh, I love those. Reese's Pieces weren't until 78 and were famously in E.T. Mm-hmm. Skittles in 74 and Pop Rocks in 74.
You know, makes good candy, and boy, was that a culture shock when we moved back from Japan and we found out we couldn't get Japanese candy anymore.
What kind did
now
you
they
love?
Sell?
You mean
that
salty sweet candy, like the mix?
No, like candy, like Japanese gum. Or
I love their gum.
Yeah, and they had fun, just different kind of candy that you can't get here. There's the chewy. There's one that
Hi-Chew,
that is a Japanese, and also the Pokies. You know,
the Pokies are the sticks.
Love the Pokies.
Yeah,
I
love those things. But
those are everywhere now, Lori.
Yeah,
because years ago when you first bought them for us, you're like, Julie, I found these, and they're so good.
I know.
Then Sour Patch Kids and Nerds were mid-80s.
Yeah.
90s brought us cookies and cream, candy, kind of the kind of stuff. And 2000s were... The individual flavor jelly beans,
The Jelly Belly things.
Yeah. I like it when we really get into those things.
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
No, because no one trick-or-treats in my house. I'm not even going
to
be home.
Oh. I just have no self-control. I have to wait till last day.
I'm telling you.
It's in the house,
I was in pain this weekend, and I brought in Twizzlers last week, too, and something else here, because I'm like, I cannot have this stuff in my house.
And watching Dope Sick seems like that would make you snack, just because you're anxious watching it.
I was so anxious.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, that's good. Yeah. That's good. But the, what was I going to tell you? No, I'm going to the Vikings-Cowboy game on Halloween.
No, that's on Sunday.
Yeah, that's Halloween.
Other day is the 30th. Halloween is Sunday.
Wait, that's when I'm going. Yep. So that's when the people would trick or treat.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. You're like, that sounds on him. Like, yeah. And that's Halloween.
Right.
That would be that.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
A good game.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
Do you think that when they made that Viking Stadium, like somebody had it out for somebody that they made it to be such a difficult place to navigate?
The worst place. We were just talking about that with Ross out here, too. It is for something that was built to fix that very problem that the Metrodome had. It did a horrible job of fixing the bottlenecks. Everywhere you go, it bottlenecks up, it backs up. And it's just a concrete mess. It's
because
nothing.
Why the hole, is it that? Doesn't go all the way around.
No, it doesn't.
Every level doesn't go all the way around. And it's a series of up, down, and around. I'm telling you, if you are going to something there, you want to look online and see what gate you go into. Let me tell you.
During the intermission, I went to get my food. I also went to go out, find my route out of the stadium. Because when you're down the floor, like, where are we going to go? How are we getting out of here? Yeah. That was what
we
I did.
We just actually stumbled out the right door.
Oh, good for
you.
I
mean, we weren't stumbling, but we just were like, you know, yeah, because you don't have any idea where you are
it
was in that place. Yeah. So just look before you, or whoever you go with, they'll know what door you're going in.
Right. But did they fix the bathroom sign situation?
Yeah, the bathroom signs, they fixed that a while ago. But it's the flawed design.
It is, Lori, because it dead ends and it butt necks and it gets narrow.
And then you have to go up and down. And yeah, it's fakakta.
I'm with you.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing but a joke.
It's fakakta. All right, if people are dealing with, I got this text about a month ago. You are not going to be able to call people within your same area code without adding the three digits in front of it. Has anyone gotten that? Do either of you guys have... Grant, are you a 952?
Yeah. No, I'm a 612. Excuse me.
Oh, all right. So I'm the only one of us that's a 952. So I got this text. So apparently, and it just happened, and it's happened in 32 markets, is that you can't dial someone in your same area code without dialing the three digits in front of it anymore. And they did that because... The FCC is making changes to pave the way for a nationwide three-digit national suicide prevention lifeline.
Oh, yeah, 311.
And it's going to launch in July 16th in 2022.
Yay.
But they needed to free up some 95s, 98 numbers and stuff. So if you're a 952er and you're trying to call your neighbor, you got to dial their area code now.
Got it.
Which is something that just happened over the weekend. Just a little heads up on that.
Okay.
And then also, if you are wondering if there's going to be Fruit Loop flavored milk out soon, yes, there is.
Oh, God. Ugh. Why don't you just drink the milk after a bowl of Fruit Loops?
Yeah, exactly.
It's just a bunch of sugar.
But I'm just thinking, okay, remember when strawberry milk came out?
Yeah, I never liked
banana
strawberry
milk. Banana milk came out?
No.
Chocolate milk.
I'll take chocolate all day long.
Yeah. Milk, chocolate milk, chocolate fudge milk.
Yeah.
Whole milk with chocolate fudge milk.
Wow.
This is just an...
you know your milk.
Spoon in your milk. Your milk. Which you were saying it correctly. You did not
did
call
I?
It milk.
No,
did
the last few you were good. Yeah, you
I
were
did?
Saying milk.
Yes,
yeah.
You said milk
must
like three times in a
because
row.
Because I've got such a spasm in my back right now, I can't focus on the time. Oh, my gosh. All right, well, that's good to know. All right, we'll be back with some exciting, exciting things. Stay with us, Lori and Julia, here at My Talk.
All right, until we get to that.
Hey, everybody, thanks for hanging out with us on this host Rolling Stones.
Okay.
I wish it was last night all over again. I was so excited yesterday at this time. Just like thinking about what one of my mesh shirts am I going to wear, you know?
Mm-hmm. Everybody was dressed great too. Did you notice everybody had their leather coats on, their tight pants? I mean, it was
a lot of people.
It was a sexy crowd.
It
there
was a sexy crowd.
A lot of all ages.
Yeah.
Too. Were you surprised at that?
I actually had a young cop. Remember, I was telling you my first one was with my parents. The guy behind me had his son with him. He maybe was 6 or 7 years old.
Yeah.
Standing up on the chair next to him, the son was just jamming out with him the whole time.
Knew all the music.
It was really cool to see. So yeah, it was a very unique crowd, but fun.
Yeah, so fun. Well, speaking of concerts, I want you to know, in case you were wondering, Olivia Wilde has joined Harry Styles, who one day will play Mick Jagger in a biopic on the Stones. But she has joined him. She's done doing whatever she was doing for filming or editing, and now she's back on the road with Harry, Julia. And I knew you'd want to know that. Her touring toy boy is in Boston right now. And so she's
he's going to be at the Garden.
Listen, I wouldn't leave my boyfriend Harry Styles alone for very long, you know?
He is quite lovely, isn't he?
He's literally a magnet.
Yep. Oh yeah. Big time.
Yeah. Well, the cat's away.
I love that this is the news you're telling me.
Well, Julia,
that's happening.
You know, he has a 41-date Love on tour.
That's a lot.
Yeah, wow. But I think it ends November 24th. So anyway, so she's been spotted at 4 of the concerts so far. So they're back out there together. The big news in Hollywood, of course, is the shooting on the movie called Rust, where Alec Baldwin shot what's called a prop gun, but was a real gun, and it didn't have a blank in it. It had a real bullet. And so there's just a lot of stories coming out about that. The latest is the search warrant kind of, there's a lot of here's what happened. So he was practicing, Grant, removing a revolver, and it was like, and this was like an old Colt, and you know how they kind of do the a tricky cowboy shot.
Yeah, yeah.
So he was practicing, a quick draw.
Yeah, yeah.
Something, removing the revolver from the holster and aiming it towards the camera. It was just a rehearsal because they were trying to figure out where the camera was going to be, what was going to be the best shot. Alec Baldwin. Mm-hmm. And that's when the director heard what sounded like a whip and a loud pop. And of course, the weapon had been described on the set by this assistant director who there's a lot of people coming forward with stories about him on other movie sets and about what a
dink
he was. Mm-hmm. But that he had declared the gun cold,
which means no ammunition, not even any blanks.
Blanks, that's right.
So nothing in the barrels.
So, right. And so, the shooting took place, like you'd said last Friday, Julia. The 6 members of the film's crew had walked out on the movie after complaining to the production company about payment and housing. And the day started late because production hired a replacement camera crew. And aside from Baldwin, the director said only 2 people were handling the gun, armorer Hannah Gutierrez Reed,
right,
and assistant director Dave Halls.
Right.
And because of COVID-19 safety protocols, this Hannah set up 3 of these guns on a cart left outside of the church set, and she did not know live, and Halls said he did not know live rounds were in the gun that he handed to Baldwin, but he did yell, cold.
Yes, he did.
Gun. To me, it sounds like there were so many screw-ups.
So many.
Yep.
Like this guy, okay, I know the armorer, you know, she's feeling terrible, but like,
this is their job.
But everything that I've read, like you're supposed to someone cocks it another time and looks at it.
Sure.
You know?
To see if there's bullets.
To see if there's anything in it. And they'd already had, though, this is all coming out in this, there's a lot of details that the detectives have already gotten. misfirings from the
They've
guns.
Been playing with the guns over the weekend,
and they had misfires.
Right. It just sounded. It sounded not safe all around.
And
every aspect of it. Yeah. Has
yeah. The
horrible.
Director told the detectives that the cast and crew had been preparing for the scene before lunch, but they took a meal break, and when they returned, the director said he wasn't sure whether the gun was checked again.
Well, then why not check
it? Why not check it?
Well, because he's the director, and he didn't know why the armor or the other assistant director didn't do it.
Right.
Joel said, as far as he knows, no one gets checked for live ammunition on their person prior and after the scenes are being filmed. Anyway, Hollywood is like, why are they even using real guns on the set?
No, why are they using real
why
guns?
Why are they using real guns on the set even?
Right.
You think like CGI could be done well enough where they could have a fake gun and do the reaction with your hand.
Exactly.
And make it look like it fired versus having this type of, you know, scary possibility. Right. But then again, you know, they want it to be as real as possible. You know, to look at
And they use stuff sometimes because they want the gun smoke look. You know, that's why they use the blanks.
Yeah. You know what? It's amazing this hasn't happened more often or something because... You know, I mean, that Brandon Crowe, that happened to him, and that wasn't a blank. That was a bullet that was in there.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Yeah, there's just a lot. I know they had a legal expert on talking with Savannah and then someone else talking with
Danny Abrams.
Yeah, Danny Abrams.
Basically, Alex Baldwin as the actor doesn't have to worry, but Alex Baldwin as the producer will probably file a civil suit.
Oh, they have?
Oh, 100%. They
have to. And her husband, the woman who got killed, her husband is a lawyer.
And he came to say...
In the entertainment industry. Yeah, in L.A.
And he came out, though, on Saturday and said, I do not hold Alec Baldwin.
Well,
accountable for this. It was a tragic accident.
Of course it was, but he still doesn't mean he's going to not have to sue him.
No, of course he's going to be sued.
And Alex spoke at the memorial, and I believe that he's going to take, you know, time off. But,
That to me would be, if someone tells you, and you believe people are doing their job, and then you kill someone inadvertently. I mean, that would how do you recover from that? I don't know how you recover from that.
Yeah, I don't know.
She's young and she's got I don't know
therapy.
How you... Wow, because that one is just...
Yeah, but he is going to have to get an attorney because...
Oh, of course.
Matt Hutchins, this Helena's husband, he's an entertainment attorney.
Right.
And I guess he's with this kind of prestigious law firm called Latham & Watkins, and he specializes in mergers and acquisitions.
Sure.
And they're going to have to because this what happened, someone's going to have to pay for that loss because shouldn't have happened.
Of course. Of course. I'm going to pay.
Yes.
And that's why you have insurance.
The union is really upset with the fact that this movie was made without union people in the prop thing. And this gal...
She was very underqualified and was scared about it, but they said also she was conscientious. So you're hearing a little bit of both.
Well, her dad is like some big deal armorer.
So that's how she
in Hollywood. So that's how she got the job, but she's worked on other things. So this wasn't her first.
But not a lot.
No, yep. But like four or five. But I mean, I don't know. It just
it's tragic.
Yeah, there's a gaffer. You know how you see gaffer? They've publicly accused the armorer and the producers of negligence. People are coming out of the woodwork to talk about, like, just all these kind of screw-ups that were happening on the movie and how chaotic it was.
There you go.
Yeah, I know.
Scary stuff, you guys.
Yeah.
And it's just how it turned from what we thought to being this whole, like, so sad for Alec Baldwin, but now, like you said, the producer, Alec Baldwin, he's all at fault with this.
Right.
All at fault.
Right. Oh, yeah. No,
it's just a complete flip from when we originally heard the story, you know?
Well, we did know a producer.
But with all the things like that was brought to light that Julia told us, like as the day started to unfold and as things came out originally, it was just like, oh, my God, I feel so bad for Alec Baldwin. Now part of me is like, what were you thinking, bud? Like,
yeah.
You needed to have this stuff in line as the executive.
Well, other Hollywood people, though, have come forward that have said they, too, are not experienced or know anything about guns and that they rely on the armorer
professionals, yeah,
to be doing their job because that's why they're hired in the first place. And I was curious. I watched a movie this weekend called Old Henry. Casey picked it out. It was kind of a quirky Western movie starring Tim Henry Blake or something. He played the lead in the Ballad of Buster Scruggs, and he was in Just Mercy as kind of the killer. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but it was an old Western, and like our guy that we liked from True Detectives was in it, and a lot of shooting. So I waited till the end of the movie to see
in the credits
how many armors worked on this movie, yes, that had so much shooting going, yes, on. Like amazing gunfights at the OK Corral, basically. Three
people.
Three armors. But this was a Western and the guns were like a big part of it. But the fact, you know, they just had the one,
right,
and, you know, not a very experienced one.
Exactly.
And even on a movie I saw, The Last Duel, I saw that at the movie theater this weekend, they had two armors. So now I'm like, I didn't even know this job existed.
How good was that?
Yes, question. Yeah. How was it?
I'll tell you.
All right, we gotta take a break.
Yeah, we'll be right back with Hollywood Speak.
Hollywood Speaking.
What is the meaning of this?
Well, here's the meaning of this. If you have very fast fingers and you're the first person to call 651-641-1071, you are going to go see A Christmas Carol at the Guthrie Theater on Wednesday, November 10th. So the very first caller, 651-641-1071. And it is a world premiere of a fresh,
right,
but faithful adaptation of A Christmas Carol. And of course, this is wonderful because we didn't get to see any
of
these shows
last
year. We didn't
get to see it, and Guthrie does such great productions.
And we'll have these all week, and mm-hmm, I'll make people work harder, but we just didn't have time. You
Today
know?
We're just going to go easy.
We're going easy.
We're going easy, yeah.
I was on a Rolling Stone high and just couldn't focus. I was so busy playing my videos back to myself. And
you're the only one who...
I'm Bradley Traynor.
And I'm Don McClain. We have a podcast called Blinded by the Item.
A blind item is gossip about a celebrity with their name left out. It's a guessing game. And you can play along. The item might be like, this A-list star carries a Birkin bag worth more than the average person's house to the gym to work out.
Pretty sure that's J-Lo.
And P.S. the person behind all of this is Kris Jenner,
LLC. We drop a new episode every weekday so the fun never ends.
Blinded by the Item. Listen wherever you get podcasts and watch us on the Blinded by the Item YouTube channel.
Comes up with these contests too.
Well,
did last week.
Yeah, Julia.
You did last week.
Yeah, you know, mm-hmm, I know your back is in pain, but do not lash out at this one over here right now. Here, listen to this. A hiker lost on a mountain in Colorado ignored repeated calls from rescuers because he'd been unfamiliar with the phone number.
Okay, wait a minute. So here I am. I'm lost.
You're lost.
I'm personally lost right now.
Over 24 hours.
And people are calling my phone and I don't answer the calls because I don't recognize the number.
That is correct.
Okay, come on.
This person deserved to
stay
almost
lost
stay lost
for a week.
Okay,
not a week, but at least another date. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of.
I know. The Department of Natural Resources, I think this one's in Colorado, put on their Facebook page explaining that the rescue had been complete. The subject had ignored repeated phone calls because they didn't recognize our number. If you're overdue, according to your itinerary, and you start getting repeated calls from an unphone number, answer the phone. It might be search and rescue.
Oh, okay. I have such a hard time with that one. That is like the hello.
Hello.
Hello, stupid person.
Yeah, I know.
You're not supposed to say those words and it's mean, but hello, stupid person.
Yeah, exactly.
Can you imagine if like you're lost and I'm trying to get you help and you don't answer the phone? I'd scream at you. I'm like, what is wrong with you?
Right.
I mean, you would get in the biggest fight.
Good grief.
Because obviously some people reported this person is lost and they're not
answering the phone. I know.
First of all, they're going to run out of battery So I would answer the phone and say, can you call my family and friends?
Friends, of course.
I mean, oh, that one's so bad.
I wish I knew the age of this person.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
21.
Yeah, something. I don't know. Okay.
Oh, that's painful.
It is. This is posted. Kim Kardashian Skims collaborates with Fendi.
Yes.
Julia, what are your thoughts?
All, I just think, go, Kim, go.
Print money, Kim, print
money. Do it.
Money.
That Fendi would collaborate with a Kardashian. I mean, she has, wow. So go, Kim, go.
Yeah.
Congrats to her. I think they're kind of interesting things. They're very expensive.
The Skims?
Oh, yeah. These are very, and they're all in like magenta colors, which are fantastic colors, but... You know, like the Skim opera glove where the hand is attached that you can't even wash your hands, you know, and in today's world, you know, you kind of want to wash. And
I
just think, go, Kim, go.
Mm-hmm.
And really rich people will have it. And then 10 years from now, I would love to say I've got something from the Fendi Kardashian collection.
The Fendi Skims collection. Yeah.
I really would. Grant, was the caller so happy?
Yeah, Jennifer. She's a big fan. She told me to say hi to you guys.
And
Jennifer. She's real excited to go down to the show. It's, yeah.
That's so awesome.
Cool.
Yeah. That's cool.
We've got more to give away all week. Like you said, we'll have something fun with it coming up here in the next couple of weeks.
We're going to make people say Scrooge lines.
Yeah. Okay. Well, here's one. Angry Disney fans are calling for Disney to ban these t-shirts because apparently there are people that come to Disney World and matching couples that come in matching shirts in the Disney calligraphy.
Okay.
And one shirt will read, I wanted the D, and the other shirt says, I gave her the D.
Okay, that's hysterical. Okay, but that's absolutely hysterical, and little kids can't read it anyway, so who cares?
And all their movies are full of little innuendos like that anyway, so what are they worried about?
Would a Disney movie be filled with big D innuendos, though, really?
Well, there are.
Those animators had some fun in all those hours and hours of animating. There's lots of
hidden... That's just hysterical. It who's going to be the big
A former Disney creative designer posted a photo of the couple with emojis over their faces and said, D is for don't.
Oh, yeah. Well, don't show me a priest in the movie The Little Mermaid with some big D, because that was one of them. There's a scene where there's a priest, and if they zoom in real quick, he's just boing.
Yeah, but nobody, kids never see this, never know this.
No, you don't find out until later.
I don't think the kids will know at Disney that getting D is...
Okay, I have already Googled the priest and... In The Little Mermaid.
Oh, yeah. There's so many. Every movie, basically, I think they can make
I just saw it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yes. There's a little Easter egg in all these movies. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Penises are everywhere in Disney movies.
Yes. Look at the cover of Little Mermaid. The castle's full of them. They're it's like the phallus-like spaceships. They're just towers all over the Disney.
They're little Easter eggs that the animators were drawing in that only they could see, and it's going by so fast. It was the ultimate, you know, kind of a funny inside joke.
Okay, now I am looking. Oh, my.
There's a lot of them if you Google.
Oh, my God. I really have missed out on a lot.
Well.
But I would be good at this. You know, remember Highlights magazine where you'd find the 17 missing items?
Love that.
I love finding those.
Oh, yeah.
You know, can you see the things or one of these two pictures? People magazine used to do it. These two pictures don't match up. Love doing that. So I'm sorry I missed all this.
Yeah, well,
I haven't spent time.
You can go down the Google rat hole there.
Yeah, YouTube.
And find them all.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
And do a whole segment about it if you want.
About all the Easter eggs in Disney movies.
Okay, here's one. Vogue Paris, the editors feel Anna Wintour is imposing wokeness on them, and they are having a hissy fit about what she's trying to do at Vogue Paris. Your thoughts?
What is she trying to have? I mean, I can't even, Lori.
You can't?
I can't. So she's trying to give opportunity to people of color?
Yes.
Wow. That's got to be hard for those Parisians to handle.
Yeah. What is with this French melodrama?
That's like nothing.
Yeah,
that's
nothing. Get with the times.
Yeah.
Paulina Poroskova was on... a show, and she was an interview with Los Angeles Magazine, and he asked her about the state of Rick Ocasek, And he said, I've heard, you know, that it was, he was only worth $5 million when he died. And she said, you know, that's BS. Well, then and he goes, well, how much is it? And she said, I cannot tell you, but I'm going to be fine. I'm going to be fine. I settled last week. There you go. I settled last week with the estate. They were very fair. They gave me what is mine under New York state law, and we are done.
Okay, but the estate was her children. This was always the weirdest thing about this Rick Ocasek. He gave the money to his children before her. And the ones he had with her. He didn't give it to her.
He cut out his first two children.
Okay, that was
a woman that he cheated on to get with Paulina.
And then gave it to her two sons.
Their two sons, Paulina, their two sons.
So she's saying, I got my sons to agree to pay me.
Well, I believe that it was her money that bought their Gramercy Park townhome.
Right.
She had the money and she put it down. And I think that they just settled on the fact that this was a townhome that...
Mom owned.
Yeah.
Mom bought with dad.
Yeah.
But it's funny that you would have to settle. I would see if your family, if she got along
but
with
it. But he was trying to rock block her from the grave, Julia.
I understand. But, I guess if I was the kids who inherited the money, I of course give mom her home.
You need this stuff in legal writing when it comes to real estate.
Thing
and
one
stocks.
And thing two, if you're listening, I would expect you to do the right thing.
Right. Jeez.
I would expect it, but yeah, maybe you just never know.
When it comes to
money legal. People are evil.
Oh, geez. Jules.
Money is evil.
All right.
Okay.
But nice to have when you have it.
Yeah. It's not too bad.
Absolutely love it. All right. We'll be right back.